I wonder what the hell this is about.
The companions were gathered in the main square with the rest of the Palatins.
Whatever it is, Millie's got a hand in it. Which kind of makes me wonder why she didn't tell us about it.
I fear that is something on which you dwell too deeply, John Barrymore. Dear Dr. Wyeth is walking a very fine line at the moment, and we have to make allowances for this.
Yeah, Doc, but how long before it gets to be a problem?
You're doubting Mildred?
Yeah, Dean. What the fuck are you saying exactly?
Easy there, JB.
Easy yourself, Carter.
I'm not doubting Mildred. Really. It's just that, well, she kind of belongs here.
I'm really getting sick of this talk. Like Millie's going to abandon us because she's with other black people. Like it works like that.
That's not what I'm saying, JB.
That's exactly what you're saying.
I said easy, JB.
Say it one more time, Ryan. Go ahead.
Dean, you have seemed troubled since we landed here. What is it that ails you?
Nothing.
There's still more interesting in waiting for next hunt.
There was a raised platform in the middle of the square that was used for speeches and celebrations, and the trio of Marcus, Mildred, and Sunita mounted it to a hum of speculation that stilled as the sec boss raised an arm.
My friends, this is a landmark day in the history of our people. Our beloved Barriss is too ill to speak to you today, but he has given me orders and requested his daughter to speak. Pray be silent and listen well, for what Sunita has to say is of the utmost import.
He stood back and made way for the woman. Sunita stepped forward and looked over the sea of faces in front of her. Never before in her life had the reality of being the leader, the focal point of so many, become so palpable. It was several moments before she found her voice. For many in the gathering, it wasn't long enough. Marcos's brother Chan stood in the crowd, instantly distinguishable because of his pigmentless skin, and listened in growing disbelief and anger to what Sunita had to say. She told the people of her father's decision to authorize a mass exodus to the Whitelands, and why. Their resources were all used up. It was a simple case of move or die. She explained that her father, herself, and Marcos were aware that many would be against mixing with the Pale Ones. These people had to face the reality of the situation. The plan was to find a place where they could live in relative isolation, so that they wouldn't have to mix with anyone, of whatever descent, if they didn't wish to. But there would be Pale Ones, and there would be no point in fighting it. She hoped that the presence of Mildred's companions would help to show that not all Pale Ones were the enemy. As for those who did not wish to leave the island of Pilatu, they just needed to look around. The harvests were lessening, the game was harder to hunt, the mines were running dry. The island had served them well, but now it was exhausted. The time to re-enter the world their ancestors had left behind had finally arrived, and truly they were the ones fate had chosen to undertake this momentous task. It was a good speech. All the things that Sunita touched upon were true, framed to present her theme as irrefutable. To many in the crowd, it seemed to make sense. Even those who were saddened by the thought of leaving the island could see that it wasn't a question of choice any longer. Watching the faces as Sunita spoke, Mildred felt it was going better than she might have expected. There were some that looked unhappy, even angry. Most prominent, the instantly recognizable visage of Chan. Marcos had spotted his brother too, and when Mildred glanced at the sec boss, she could see the mixed emotions that boiled within him. But the faces that caught Mildred's attention most of all were those of the companions. At the back of the crowd, they stood out immediately and clearly by virtue of their skin color. She could see amazement at the revelation, and also disappointment. Her eyes locked with JB's, and despite the distance between them, it seemed as though she could actually hear what was running through his head. His stare was accusatory.
Shit. This is gonna make things very hot for us.
You can say that again, lover.
Christy watched some in the crowd turn to them. Most were curious, but others had expressions of outright hostility.
We're really going to have to watch our backs. There's going to be some who want to use us to prove a point, and they're going to be out to chill us.
One certainly would have wished Mildred to have given us some warning.
Not real danger. Look there.
Jack pointed. The companions followed his finger. The albino Chan was no longer looking at Sunita or his brother on the platform. Instead, He was facing the back of the crowd, his eyes scanning for signs of the companions. Two other men had barged through the crowd and were now urgently talking to him. The albino held up his hand to silence them, then smiled slowly as he located the white faces at the back of the crowd. He spoke to the two men at his side, and they too directed their gazes toward the companions. They listened as he spoke. When he had finished, they indicated their agreement.
That's something to worry about.
We're really going to have to be triple red from now on. Shit, I wish we could get our blasters back. Maybe Mildred could.
I figure that maybe we'll have to get the blasters ourselves.
Listen, I think this concerns us.
On the platform, Sunita was detailing the way work at the Vill would be divided until the migration. It was important to continue the work of farming and hunting so that there would be plenty of food. Yet there was also much to do in the way of preparation and storage. One of the most important tasks would be to ready the transportation that would take them to the White Lands. New boats were to be built, and those on the fishing fleet would be rotated out so that they could be adapted to take larger cargoes of people and produce and the livestock and wags that would carry the population once they hit the mainland.
Mildred's companions have much experience of such matters, and so they will work with us on the conversion of the boats. They will also help to oversee the storage of foodstuffs and belongings for the journey. They will work closely with us, and you will see the true qualities of the Pale Ones.
Ryan cast his eye over the expectant crowd that had turned with curiosity to view them. He particularly noticed the hostile faces, especially those grouped around Chum. Sure, it would give them a chance to prove both themselves and demonstrate the point Sunita and presumably Mildred wanted to make, but it would also put them right in the firing line of the fanatics.
Fireblast! What are these damn trees made of?
Ryan's axe stuck yet again in the fibrous wood of the trunk. Sap oozed over the axe head and down the handle, almost like glue, sealing the metal into the body of the tree. The trunk gave easily at the swing of the axe head, but was reluctant to let go of the metal, making it difficult and time-consuming to fell even a single tree. And there were many to be felled. Wood was needed for the reinforcement of existing craft and the rapid building of more. Hard labor was required to gather this wood, and among the few islanders felling trees, the companions were set to the task. That was, all the companions except Mildred, who was still aiding Sunita. Although this made sense, it still rankled JB that Mildred hadn't been to see them while they set about their task. The islanders who joined them in tree felling were among the least friendly on the island. Many of those who had spoken openly after the meeting about not wishing to travel abroad had been rounded up by Marcus's Sekmen and put to work out of harm's way. While they were merely chopping trees, there was little they could do in the way of sabotage to the evacuation plans. There was one exception to this tone of hostility, Elias, the man who was Marcus's rival for the hand of Sunita. Although he was softly spoken, Elias was a giant of a man. Around 6'4" or 6'5", he was broad-shouldered, with a thickly corded neck and massive biceps and pectorals that indicated a great upper body strength. He was felling trees near the companions, and in work breaks had spoken with them, keen to discover more of the world beyond Pilatu. They had learned in return of his desire to integrate the community in the outside world, something he felt essential for its long-term survival, and of his quest for Sunita's hand to further this. Given what they knew of the attitude of Marcos and his brother Chan, it made the giant Pilatan a refreshingly sympathetic figure, who might prove a good ally. And they would need good allies. Just from the attitude of those around them, they knew that there would be problems. A couple of times there had been axes or knives that flew mysteriously through the air to embed themselves in trunks near where the companions worked. The Sek had ordered everyone back to work, so none of the companions had been able to pinpoint the origin of the hostility. So they were constantly on triple red, and glad for an ally among the island population. What bothered the companions more than anything was that they were unarmed. Ryan's Panga, JB's Tekna, Dean's knife, and even Doc's silver lion's head swordstick had been taken away by the Sek. They still had Jack's leaf-bladed knives, but to keep these secret, the albino kept them about his person, which meant that he couldn't swiftly distribute them in time of trouble.